I just got my cleanest report ever. I am completely healed. So I just want you to understand, I am not one of these people I'm not afraid to say words like cancer. I like to say cancer. I like to say cancer, cancer, cancer. I am not afraid of you. Right? We've got to get to the point where we know who we are in Christ. We know we have his authority and his sound is in us. So we have to make declarations. I hear those chains falling. See, you got to get ready to say that. You got to take ownership of it. Don't observe worship. Enter. I love how Pastor Jess and Pastor Deborah, they were teaching you how to enter into worship. See, what we are programmed in America to watch worship. But worship has a purpose, and I'm going to teach today. I spent a week praying for you guys, just praying and seeking God. I thought I had this amazing sermon for you, which is about 14 pages typed in my purse right now. And the Lord said, last night I'm praying for 3 hours just for you, 3 hours just for you, for today and tonight. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me 2 particular scriptures, and we're going to work on those in the spirit. But one of the things that he said to me specifically, and last night I was writing it out to Christine, just I said, this is what God keeps saying, and this is what I want you to hear. He said, just deal with it and move on. Now, in the spirit, God is saying, not in the natural. See, what we do is we try to deal with it in the natural. And move on. How many of you figured out you can't do that? In the natural, not only can you not deal with it, but you can't move on. You have to do it in the spirit. That's why you got to know who you are in Christ. You have his authority. And when you prophesy, I hear those chains falling. You got to know that you know that you know that they're falling off of you. They may not be falling off of another person in the room, but they're falling off of you. And you've got to take your own authority. You got to step in your position. You got to step in your place. And you got to know who you are. Last year, about this time, I went to the doctor for just a regular physical, and they did an EKG. They don't do that every year on me. And he said, wow, when did you have a heart attack? You have heart damage. I was like, wow, I didn't know I had a heart attack. Don't people normally know when they have a heart attack? And he began to ask me questions about things that I'd been through. And when he heard that I had been through colon cancer twice and I'd been through the surgery, and when he found out that I had met the Lord face to face in 2000, he said, oh, you could have had a heart attack at any of those times when you were under anesthesia and didn't know it. And he said, but you have heart damage. And so I went home and I said to the Lord, and my husband and I just stood in agreement. And Harry said, you know, I believe that we should ask the cardiologist to give us 6 weeks, 40 days, to apply the word. And I said, okay, let's ask him, can we do that? And so he said, okay, I'll give you 6 weeks. And so Harry got up early one morning before I got up, and he wrote out almost 100 scriptures about the heart. And when I got up, he said, here, you confess these for 40 days, and I'll do the same. And so every morning I would get up and I would confess every scripture about the heart that I could find. And one particular one really hit me. It's John 14, verse 1. It said, let not your heart be troubled. Wow. Don't give your heart permission to be troubled. Don't give your heart permission to be troubled. It became my theme. All day long, every day I'd say, heart, I don't give you permission to be troubled. You do not have permission from me. Therefore, since you're in this body and this body is ruled by the Holy Ghost, you have no permission to be troubled. You'll be at peace. You'll be healed. You'll be whole. There'll be no effects. There'll be no damage. You start taking on the word, you see. And that's the difference between confession and profession. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life, but you profess what he said. You profess. You say, it's kind of that, what he said. What he said. You know how people say that? Sometimes they go, oh, what he said. Well, you say it. What God said, I say. And that's your profession. And so I begin to profess, to say forward, to say into my future. That's what profession is. You say it forward. You say it forward. That's what I tell you about talking about your husbands and your children. If you talk up to them, they'll live up to it. But if you talk down to them, they'll live down to it. So if you tell them who they are by the Spirit, not what you're looking at, not what you're dealing with, not what you're feeling, but what do you see when you pray? What do you see when God says, this is who they really are? This is who they're going to be. I want you to confess and profess. Speak up, speak up, speak forward, speak forward. Don't be speaking what's behind you, because if you're talking what you were, you're going to be living tomorrow what you were yesterday. But if you say what God says about you, for between 60 and 100 scriptures, I really honed in on about 60 because I felt like they were my best ones. And so I got those 60 scriptures and I said them over and over and over again. And at the 40th day, Harry and I went to the big cardiologist at Eisenhower, and he looked at my heart and he said, well, I'm looking at what we saw 40 days ago. It is not there now. The reason I want to get it in your spirit that God has called you to deal with it and move on is because we're in the last days. It is time for us to get over it. Hello? Stop wearing your mess as your badge. Stop reflecting your pain. Your image is not supposed to be a reflection of what you've been through. Your image is not supposed to be a reflection of the situation and the circumstance and the mess that you've walked through. You are the image of Christ. You live inside of Him. He is the only one that you should be reflecting. Oh, yeah, I'm not diminishing. Listen, never, ever, never, ever consider that I'm diminishing what you've been through. I would not want anybody to diminish the fact that I was crippled from a car wreck, or that I was sexually abused for 10 years, or that my daughter died in 99. I would not want anybody to diminish my pain or my grief. I would not want anybody to diminish the fact that I've been through cancer. I'm not diminishing your circumstance and your situation. I'm saying that when you are in Christ, you have no more right to wear your pain as your image. Everywhere you go, you're a walking, talking infomercial for Jesus Christ. You walk down the Walmart aisle, they should follow you like the Pied Piper. I don't know what you got, but I want it. I don't know who you are, but I need what you have. I don't know what it is about you, but you just look different. You sound different. Everything about you is different, right? We have the ability to be, not just do. See, we've had a generation of doing. God has called us to be. Be holy. Be saved. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be in Christ. Be in rest. See, what have we done? We've done saved. Do saved. Do filled with the Holy Ghost. Do righteous. He didn't say do right. He said be righteous. Be holy. It's all about my being. Because let me tell you, when you're doing it in your own strength, eventually you can't anymore. Eventually, you just can't do it anymore. But when it's coming from your being, you don't even try. You don't have to work at it. You just are. You just are. You are in Christ. You are purified. You are holy. You are righteous. You are delivered. You are saved. You are free. You are delivered from everything that you've ever been through. You are. You are. You are delivered. And why are you? Because He is. It's all about Him. It's not even about you. Never has been. But when you stop beside your mess and you build a house, you build a little tent and you bring your toothbrush and your underwear and you move in. God didn't say stop. Keep moving. Listen, I'm 57 years old, and the best revelation I've had for my own personal life now is that life is not a destiny. Now, I love destiny. I'm a type A personality. I love lists. I love goals. I love steps. I love a program. Give me something I can do. I mean, my type A goes, yes, I can do that. But when God strips you of that and says, I don't want you to do anything else, I just want you to follow me. Just be who I tell you to be for this moment. I'm not going to give you next moment, just this moment. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God. Give me a list, God. Can I have at least 24 hours? Please, I need a plan. He's like, no, I'm gonna teach you that your life is not about the destiny. Your life is about the journey. Embrace the journey that you're on instead of despising the journey that you're on. And God can be the king in the middle of your journey. It doesn't matter what you've been diagnosed with. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It doesn't matter what anybody does to you, because you're a dead woman walking. Right? When God began to download this into my spirit, the first thing he did was he took me in a vision. And I said, I have visions. I'm as weird as they get. I like it. Don't mess with me. Don't tell me that I shouldn't be. I don't care what you think. I'm in full-blown menopause, and I do not care what you think. I want God to speak to me anyway. Speak to me through your word. Speak to me by your spirit. Word and spirit. Spirit and truth. I'll take all of God I can get. Speak to me in my dreams. Whatever you have to do to get it to me, God, I'm an open vessel. And one day I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to understand about the being. I want to understand how to not be affected by what I've been through. I want to understand how to go forward, but I can't quite grasp the concept. And immediately I was in a vision with the Spirit of God. It was an empty room. It was a kitchen table from the 60s with a Formica top and that little silver rim around it. Remember that? My mama still has one. And in the middle of the little kitchen room, had nothing on the walls, white walls, that table. And in the middle of the table was a clarinet, and it was sitting with the bowl down and the mouthpiece up. One another thing in the room, and the Spirit of God was talking to me, and he said, make that clarinet worship me. And I was confused. I'm like, what, God? What? First of all, I know God knows I don't play the clarinet. And if I picked it up and blew through it, there would not be worship coming out. There might not even be sound, but it certainly wouldn't be worship. And the Lord said, make it worship me. And finally I said, Lord, I can't make it worship you. I can't even make it make sound unless I pick it up, put my mouth on it, blow through it. And he said, exactly, you're my instrument. He said, until I pick you up and I put my lips on you and I blow my breath through you, there's no sound coming out of you that is worthy for me to hear. He said, it's when I get to play you that you become my worship. It is not about your ability. It is not about your gift. It is not about your talent. You see, what we do is we disqualify our worship because we say, I'm not as good as that one, or I'm not as good as that one, because in our society, we elevate gifts. But God does not. In fact, the one that had the greatest gift, God disqualified him because of his heart. And that was Lucifer. He was the head worshiper, instruments inside of him. His internal organs made worship sounds. And the Bible itself in Ezekiel 28 says that he was perfect in all his ways. So at one point, he was perfect in all of his ways. God said in Ezekiel 28, he was perfect in all of his ways. And then there's a little qualifying word, or in this case, disqualifying. It says he was perfect in all of his ways until. Every one of us has an until moment. And if you are a worshiper and if you are gifted, your until moment is all day long, every day. You got to deal with yourself. You got to keep yourself down. You got to stay humble before the Lord. You cannot get elevated because of your gift. You got to keep it down here because it's not about you. It's about him. In fact, God will call the one that's least gifted many times because the gift gets in the way of God's glory. Yeah. But we can keep it down ourselves. He says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. See, don't wait for somebody else to have to humble you. Because God wants you to be your best. So he will do what it takes to get you there. He gives you first choice. You humble yourself before the Lord. And I mean daily, sometimes all day long. Until you figure it out, it may be minute by minute. But once you get it, you get better at it. And that doesn't mean you're ever over it. Hello? You're dealing with it all of your life. It's that thorn in the flesh that Paul was talking about. That thing that you got to keep before the Lord. You got to keep it before the Lord. You got to keep it before the Lord. And eventually you'll think, oh, I'm over it. And then something will come along and there it is again. Oh, before the Lord. Until. See, everybody has until moments. I got saved when I was 14 years old. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 17. God healed me, lengthened my left leg, put a bone in my left leg where there was 32 broken, fragmented places. Healed my back, it was broken. God did a huge miracle in my life. Filled me with the Holy Ghost, gave me other language, tongues. I was going to Ware High School, about to go to college. I was a senior in high school. I needed a foreign language to go to college. I received the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking, now see, I know nothing about the Holy Ghost. I grew up in the Methodist church. You know, I mean, we had a father and a son. We didn't have no Holy Ghost. So I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. And so when I received the Holy Spirit, I'm just convinced that God has given me Italian or French or Spanish or something so I can go to college. I had no idea what it was at the moment, but I'm stuck in it and can't get out. Okay, I'm like, okay, God, you're getting it in me so I can use it for college, right? I didn't know. But that's the Spirit of God. God needs you. He needs to download inside of you. In another vision, one time God took me to a cemetery. I grew up in Choctaw County, Mississippi, right by a cemetery. I know I told you I was going to give you announcements, but I couldn't help it. I've been prayed up, so I just went right in. I might get to them. Who knows? We're going to worship a little bit in a minute, too, but we'll see. And in this cemetery, God, the Spirit of God was with me, and he showed me a headstone. And on the headstone, there was a man's birth date, his name, his death date, and a little dash mark. And the Spirit of God said to me, hurt that man's feelings. And I was like, what? Hurt that man's feelings. He said, offend him. Make horrible things said to him. Speak evil about him. I'm like, what? What? He said, I want you to hurt his heart. I want you to say awful things to him. Offend him. And finally I said, Lord, I can't. He's dead. I can't hurt him. He's dead. He said, exactly. When you get dead enough, nobody can hurt your feelings. Nobody can offend you. Nobody can get you off. Nobody can make you leave the church because they hurt you. Hello. To be planted in the house of the Lord, see. That means nobody can rip you up by the roots and throw you out. You willfully get your feelings hurt and walk off because you're not dead yet. God wants you to be a dead woman walking so he can use you for his glory. He wants you to be an instrument that he can play for his glory. Don't disqualify yourself because of your pain. And don't try to qualify your gift because neither will work. God has called you to be an instrument for his glory. Which means that you have the right and the authority through Jesus Christ for the Holy Spirit to play you, to know exactly what to say to that person in the Walmart line right behind you, to know exactly what to say, to know exactly what to say. You don't know, but he does. That's why I spent 3 hours praying for you last night. I long ago stopped studying to preach because the Bible doesn't say study to preach. It says study to show yourself approved. I study to be approved, but I flow by the Holy Ghost when I come to you because he knows you, I don't. He knows what you just went through on your way here today. He knows what you went through in the middle of the night last night. He knows what you've been dealing with for 10 years. He knows you. I don't, but he does. He knows what you need, and he's going to give you what you need to move on, to keep going, to get over yourself. He loves you. He doesn't want you to live broken. He doesn't want you to get comfortable in your broken place. He wants you to be whole and healed and delivered and his reflection and his image and his sound and his glory. That's what he wants for you. Doesn't change your journey. It changes your approach to your journey. Everybody says, God, if you'll get me out of this, if you'll get me out of this, if you'll get me out of this, how about God, just teach me how to go through. Teach me how to go through. He's the ultimate GPS. He knows the exact correct route that will get you through the thing you're walking in right now, the quickest, with the most damage, with the best gas consumption, with the awesome ability to get you to point A to point B with the least resistance. And it doesn't mean you can't get there other ways. You can, but he wants you to get there the easiest way, the best way, the most ability for you to change way, so that you get the effect of the journey reflected in your victory, not in your pain. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We've got coming up some things. Last year when I was here, I think I talked about our son. Roman got married. He's our baby son. And he, 3 months before the wedding, his wife-to-be was diagnosed with a brain tumor, given 1%. And God healed her. And 3 months to the day, they had a wedding and not a funeral. Thank you, Lord. We have our annual We Who Worship gathering coming up next month, in 3 weeks from today, actually. And I encourage you, if you love the deep things, pick up a brochure. If it doesn't conflict with anything at the church, I didn't check the calendar. But if always support your local church first. It's always about the church. God says the hell will not prevail against the church. So always be planted in the house of the Lord. Planted, immovable and fixed. America is a very smorgasbord. We eat church. You know, we eat at this church. We eat at this church. We eat at this church. We go from this church, this church, this church, this church. We just eat, you know, eat. And what do we just get fatter. You know, you need to be in a house that causes you to have resistance so that you grow and you get strong and you're able to keep on the journey. So I encourage you, get planted in the house. Don't just eat. Don't just eat. Get planted. Grow roots. Grow roots in God's house. But the reason I brought it up is because if you love what I'm talking about, worship, there's a revelation that I wanted to teach to you, but I'll be teaching it there about the tones of the throne room and the sounds that we make. Women particularly, we have no problem making sound. God gave us lots of words. But what we have to do is guard our words to make sure we're saying what God wants us to say instead of saying things that we have to undo for the rest of our lives. Because we said it in the flesh, we said it by carnal thinking instead of saying it by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will never say the wrong thing. You on the other hand, hello. Me on the other hand, I can say the wrong thing like every other word. But the Spirit of God never says the wrong thing. He's always saying the right thing. Right? He's always taking you to the right place. And so that's coming up this month. And then in August, we have our first marriage conference our ministry is putting together in Palm Springs. And then there's one thing God has allowed me to do. In these last days, I know I'm still on the earth because God called me to rebuild worship his way. Acts 15 says that worship has been ruined. Not too hard to figure that out, is it? When worship becomes more about the worshiper than it is about the one being worshiped, it's ruined. And it is my last day's commission to train up worshipers who are a blessing to the house instead of a constant grain of sand. Hello. A constant pebble in the shoe. Right? And many, many times, my heart's desire is to cause people to finish well. I want to finish well, and I want you to finish well. And so this year, for the first time in January, I was privileged to do my first school of worship. And in that, what the Lord has trained me to do is to talk and train about the heart. Worship's about the heart. It's not about the gift. It's about the heart. It'll always be about the heart. David was so disqualified in the natural that when Samuel went there to find and anoint the next king, and he says to Jesse, bring me your sons, his own daddy didn't even bother to bring him in from the field. Disqualified in a world standard. But when the prophet did not find the one, he said, you got any more sons? And even then, Jesse's like, well, I got one more, but he ain't even worth sending for. I mean, he's a dreamer. He's a no good. He's out there. The only thing I can get him to do is keep the sheep because they basically take care of themselves. The prophet said, bring him. He's the one. You see, just because the world's disqualified you, maybe because God set you apart and set you aside for such a time as this. He may have set you apart and set you aside for you to grow, for you to get over yourself. For you thought he disqualified you. You thought he was punishing you when really he was protecting you from yourself. He was protecting you. He wasn't putting you in position until you were dead enough to be used. Everything in the kingdom of God is timing. Everything. Seasons are very important to the King of Kings. You see, if you resist the season changes, then you're resisting the plan of God because everything with him is a journey, which means when one season ends, another one starts. Just move. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just get over it and move on. Move to the next place because the next place is going to be better than the one you were just on. It's going to be better because God is with you all the way on the journey. Keep moving. Keep moving. So there's two scriptures I want you to turn to real quick, and then we're going to do as the Lord's led me. I want you to turn in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and then I want you to turn to Hebrews. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, and then Hebrews, look at like chapter 12. I've got my Amplified Bible, so sometimes I read out New King James, sometimes I read out Amplified. In the ancient Hebrew means salvation and deliverance. And one of the things I want you to understand when you're worshiping is even when you're singing tones, the Lord told me I could tell you this much. So just grab it by your spirit. Your head's going to go whoop, but your spirit's going to get it. When you're singing and you're worshiping God and you just step off into another place, you know what I'm talking about? When you're in the bathroom putting on your mascara and you just step off and you start worshiping God in another place? You know what I'm talking about? When you get in the car and you are truly the best singer in the world. I mean, in the car, you're it. You know that heaven applauded, stood. Right? You step into that place, and then you just step over in your spirit and you start singing a new song. You might do it in tongues, you might do it in English, you might do it in tongues and then English, because he says when you speak in tongues, you should also seek to interpret. God doesn't withhold the interpretation for you. He wants you to have it. So you may sing, ho de se dia bo se dia maha de se hiya, ho ba se hiya ha maha se hiyo, de de ya se hiya ha maha se hiyo hu ma se hiya. You are my children, run to me. I've called you to my feet, run to me. Don't be afraid, don't turn around, don't shut down on me now. Run to me, run to me, run to me. That's singing in tongues and the interpretation. You can do that. He wants everybody to be able to worship him with a new song. You see, you sing a new song to him. Now, how do you get there? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you, and this is the older man teaching the younger man in ministry. And so the older man says, I'm going to remind you, Timothy. This is Paul talking to him. He said, I'm going to remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. It's already in you. When you say you are born again, when you confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, the Spirit of God is with you. When you say, fill me with your Holy Spirit, he comes from with you to in you, which is in you. So Timothy obviously needed an encouragement to stir up the gift of God, which is in him. Why? Because life happens. Life happens, and there's only one way that you can keep moving and get over life, and that is to stir up the gift of God that is already in you. And when you stir up the gift of God that is in you, then the gift of God begins to operate, and you stop being in charge, and the Spirit of God becomes totally in control. You stir up the gift of God that is in you. And he says, you have this gift because through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I want to focus on the positive here. God has given you power. I know you don't realize that. I know you don't feel like that. But God's ability has nothing to do with your feelings. If his word is true, is it? Then it's always true. It's not true for you and untrue for you. It's always true. If a promise is in his word, it's true. It's true yesterday. It's true today. It'll be true tomorrow. It's true when you feel like it. It's true when you don't feel like it. It's true when you feel it. And it's true when you don't feel it. The truth is always the truth. So God gave you power. Power for what? Anything and everything you need to get through what you're going through right now. That's the power you need. There is nothing that the enemy can come up with that God has not already given you more than enough power to get you through it, to save you, to keep you, to bring you out to victory. Nothing. For God has given you power. That's why when you say, I hear those chains falling, you hear them falling. I hear those chains falling. Come on, do you hear it? I hear those chains falling off of you. I hear those chains falling. They're falling, you see. You're not just singing. You're prophesying. You're confessing. You're professing. You're speaking it forward. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. He said, come up here and I'll show you. You see, there are things you need to see. But what we have in the kingdom of God, we have a lot of looky-loos. A lot of people looking, but nobody's seeing anything. They're just looking. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. Yeah, well, it might work for them, but it don't work for me. Well, you just confessed it. It won't. It won't work for you. Don't worry about it. You disqualified it by your own mouth, your own sound, your own confession. When God gave you a sound, he gave you a tone. He gave you, in the throne room in Revelation chapter 4, I'm just going to throw this at you. Now grab it by the Spirit. There's 24 positions. They're actually tones, not just thrones, because they are crying out, casting their crowns, crying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. See, they're making sound. They're worshiping. And they're responsive worshiping to the four living creatures that are circling on the wheel inside the wheel. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And so then the 24 elders, they cry out, for you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. See, this worship. It's worship. You see, there nothing goes on in the throne room except worship. Nothing. Now, there's another place in the kingdom. It's called the court of heaven. In Hebrews 12, I know I'm taking you all over the place, but you're getting it by the Spirit, right? This is why you meditate day and night so you can get what you heard. Your spirit said, oh, I got it. And then you get in the car and you go, what? What was that? Then you slow it down when you pray in tongues, you meditate on the word day and night, and all of a sudden what you got by the Spirit in your spirit, your head can grasp over time. So just grab it while I'm throwing it at you. Just say, that's mine. Take it. Then you can slow it down on your own time. In Hebrews 12, there's a lot in Hebrews 12. So much. I mean, I could spend a year right here. One of my favorite verses is in 15, because he says, exercise future sight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessings. Do you notice he said, be on the watch for? That means not just looky-loos, but you actually see. In order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled by bitterness. So God said, be on the lookout and help each other. Help each other. Walk in love. Speak love. Speak by the Spirit of God. If God doesn't tell you to say it, Lord, don't waste your words. Don't even try to help somebody if they're not listening. The only time you speak to someone else is when you have influence. If they listen to you and disqualify everything you say, save it. There'll be a time when they'll listen. So don't make yourself sound like wah, 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 wah. By talking when you don't have any influence. And I'm speaking from experience. I've raised two sons. There's times when my words counted, and then there was a season. Nothing I said made any difference, so I quit talking. Now, I'm it again. Now they come. But if I'd have just kept yakking when they weren't listening, I don't know how long it would have taken them to come back. So speak when you have influence. Share by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will say, okay, now you can say it. And there'll be times when he says, don't say it. I know you know the way through the mess they're in, but don't tell them because they're not listening. When they're listening, you can tell them. Watch out for one another. Speak when God tells you to. Now get over into, and this is the verse I wanted you to see, but I couldn't help but talk about bitterness a minute, because that's one of those things God wanted you to deal with today. That's the thing he wants you to get over, deal with it, and move on. You got to rip it up and you got to throw it into the salt sea. The salt sea. You know why the salt sea? That's why it says it in Mark. In the salt, throw it into the salt sea. Because nothing can live in salt water. So don't just throw it in water where it can sprout another root. Hello? Make sure you throw it into salt sea so all the roots can die. Right? The word is specific. So you get over into verse 22. And he says, up until that point, he says, you know, you don't come to Mount Sinai. That's where the law was given, where you couldn't bear to touch it, where you can't stand the commandment, where an animal would die if it touches the mountain. Don't deal with that. He says, get over to verse 22. But rather, you have come to Mount Zion. Now, what is Mount Zion? Mount Zion is the place of worship. You see, you come into service, whether it be this service tonight, last night, Sunday. There's a time in worship. See, don't be the kind of person that says, oh, I just come for the word. I just miss the worship. You need the worship time. You need the worship time to get you ready, hello, to hear the word. Trust me, your garden needs to be broke up. I'm a country girl. You can't plant it till you break it up. You got to get the clods of dirt out. You got to run that plow through it over and over and over and over to get it where you can plant something in it. And that's what worship is for. Why? You have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And then it starts naming the voices to the countless multitudes of angels in festival gathering, to the church, the assembly of the firstborn who are registered in the citizens of heaven, to the God who is the judge of all. Now, what is he talking about here? All my life, I love to worship because I'm a worshiper. Has nothing to do with voice. Has nothing to do with gift or talent. It has everything to do with heart. So don't disqualify and say, oh, I'm not a worshiper. Listen, if you love God with all your heart, you were created to worship him. The very DNA inside of you looks like a pipe and a timbrel. Oh, that's what God did. Inside of Lucifer, God said pipes and timbrels, very instruments inside of him. Then he lost his position because iniquity was found in him. When he lost his position, God said, don't worry about it. I'll make an entire race of people and I'll put inside their DNA pipes and timbrels right down into the very cellular level of who they are. I'll put sound and they'll respond to the sound of me and they'll want to worship me. They'll want to dance. They'll want to jump. They'll want to move. Don't you worry about it. God's got it covered. Plan A, plan B, plan C till one sticks. God has it covered. Nothing ever surprises our God. You were planned. You were purposed. You were created to worship the Most High God. Do not disqualify your sound. Don't say, well, I'm not the first chair violin in God's orchestra. You may be the triangle. You may be the oboe or the bassoon. You may be the tuba. You may be that big drum, that kettle drum in the back. Your sound may not be what other people thinks beautiful, but God said, I put that sound exactly inside of you to make a sound, to fill the orchestra of my presence, to call the dome of my glory to come over a place when you worship. Don't withhold your sound. Worship him. Worship him. For you have come to Mount Zion. For you have come, not you're coming. You've already been given access. You've already been given position. You've already been given a place. You have come to worship. Why? Because worship is not just about a moment inside of a service. Because see, the fact is, if you say that's the worship part, well, what's preaching? That's worship. What's offering? That's worship. What's altar call? That's worship. Everything that is about our God is worship. So don't just say, I don't like the worship part. Really? You just disqualified yourself probably from being saved. Because worship is who you are, not what you do. You are a worshiper of the Most High. So what is the purpose of worship? Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. One thing I love about Jesus, so many things, but one is he said when he was talking in John 16, he said, now, the enemy's going to come, and it's inevitable, this is going to happen, I'm going to go to the cross. And he's telling the disciples, he said, but the enemy, he's got nothing in me. I love that statement. You see, when you have everything dealt with, I was sexually abused for 10 years of my life. I could still not have dealt with that by now, and the enemy would have something in me. And what do I mean by that? I mean, he has something he can mess with, that button he can push inside of me, that thing he can always mess with because I refuse to deal with it. But Jesus said, he ain't got nothing in me. He can't mess with me. He's got no button to push in me. I've got no unresolved issues. I've got no unresolved, unconfessed sin. It's all out there for everybody to see. He's got nothing in me. That's where God's calling us, where Satan has no button to push in you. For there's nothing left in you that Satan can use against you. So what is the purpose of worship? Worship has a purpose. It sets up the court of heaven. When you worship God his way, it literally means court is in session. When you're worshiping God, the judge, God, gets on his position. The defense attorney steps to his place. The accuser of the brethren steps up. And when you worship God from who you are, not what you do, but who you are, the accuser is silenced because he has nothing in you. He has nothing on you and you worship God freely and the judge says not guilty. You don't dare plead not guilty because you are guilty, but you plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And he says, you're hidden inside my son. He's sinless. Therefore, you got a place and a position. You set literal heaven on earth. I don't care what has come against you. I don't care what's been said against you. If you will come in your place, the purpose of worship is to cause heaven to come to the earth concerning your situation. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. They said, teach us how to pray. He said, make sure you put it in order. Call him Father. I made a way for you to call him Father. Call him Father. He said in John 14, there'll be a moment you don't have to come to me anymore. You'll go straight to the Father in my name. So go straight to the Father in Jesus' name. Call him Father. You're my daddy. I'm your child. I have access to your throne room just simply because you're my daddy and I'm your child because Jesus made access for me. I stand in your presence and I call you Father. Position. Position. Our Father, you're in heaven. Holy is your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, past, present, future, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are holy. You are worthy. You're almighty. It's all about you. It's not about me. I've just come to worship you. Your kingdom. Come! You see, that's what we don't do. He said, call heaven to earth. Call heaven to earth. What do? We call circumstances, situations, issues, problems, people. Don't mess with all that. It's under. It's done with. It's settled. When you say, your kingdom, your will, done. Makes me think of the time. In 2000, Gabrielle had just gone to heaven. I was grieving. Our six-year-old daughter went to heaven with a brain tumor after 11-month battle. And I didn't want to be here anymore. I was 42 years old. I'd gone into full-blown menopause the day she went to heaven. My womb dried up. They diagnosed me with colon cancer. And I'm standing before the Father. My body's in surgery. I'm before the Father, and I'm excited. Thank you, God. I'm so glad I'm here. I don't even want to deal with the pain back there. Yay! And I'm wanting him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. But all he said is, well. And I'm like panicked. What? Finish the sentence. Well. He said, I didn't call you yet. You don't get to pick your death day. You don't get to say when you're done. You don't get to say when it is finished. I say that. He said, if you stand before me, you will be in direct disobedience to my will for your life. The Lord knows me so well. He knows the one thing I won't do is willingly disobey him. And so I negotiated. Hey, when you're in the court, negotiate. God, I want three things. I want my health restored. I want my family restored. And I want our joy restored. Because I knew without those three things, we could not go on. When you are standing face to face with God, get what you need. I want my health restored. I want my family restored. I want our joy restored. Without hesitation, he said, done. And I'm back in my body. It took me 4 years to figure out that I heard the two words I went to heaven to hear. But it took my obedience to hear the full sentence. He said, well, we did our little negotiation, and he said, done. But I'm back in my body to finish my race. You see, you got to finish your race. You got to finish your race. You got to finish your race. Don't check out. Don't look for exits. Don't quit. Keep moving. You can do this. Through Christ, you can do all things. You can finish well. He will reign supreme. He will finish this inside of you. He will finish this in your family. He will finish this in your body. He'll finish this in your marriage. He'll finish this with your children. Come on. Don't give up. Just keep moving. He's going to be victorious, and you are inside of him. Don't stop now. You're almost home. Keep moving. Keep moving. Stir up the gift of God inside of you. Stir up the gift of God. You see, that's what you just did. You stirred up the gift of God. He didn't give you fear. He didn't give you a quit attitude. He said, I gave you power to withstand anything. I've given you enough love to keep you covered. No matter what kind of mess you get yourself in, you are covered with God's love covers. You're all right. You're fine. Just keep moving. Don't give up. Power, love, and I've given you a sound and safe mind. So take every thought captive. Cast down imagination. Deal with it. God does not give you Holy Ghost amnesia. He brings all things to remembrance, and he says, deal with it. Come on, let's deal with it. Deal with it. Come on, let's deal with it. Deal with it. Let's take it to the altar. Let's take it to Zion and worship God and say, this is it. This is it. This is it, God. This is it. This is it. This is the day. I'm going to draw the line today. I'm never going to look back again. I'm not going to keep bringing the same dumb things over and over and over. You know, as an evangelist, and not a pastor, been an evangelist for 35 years on the road. It's an absolute great thing that I am an evangelist and not a pastor. Because number one, my way of counseling is admit it and quit it. And if you came to me 3 weeks in a row with the same dumb problem, I would probably turn you around and kick you in the butt. And say, really? Knock you upside the head and say, what's wrong with you? And that would be love in my mind, because that's the evangelist. I love you enough to deal with you. And that's why my husband says nobody would come back by the third week. And that's why you have the fivefold ministry. You have to have pastors who love you in your stupidness. When you keep bringing the same stupid thing. Here's the deal, and this one you should write down. Stupid can't be fixed. There's nothing that can fix stupid. You just have to get over it. You got to keep moving. You got to leave stupid behind. And that does not mean when you call your husband stupid that you can leave him behind. No. 14 means salvation and deliverance. We are in the year that is destined and designed by God for you to be delivered, for you to be saved. I mean completely saved, sealed, and delivered. 5774 is the Jewish calendar. It means the year of the open door. When you put the two numbers together, it means the year of the open door for salvation and deliverance. This is the year for you to be delivered from your bitterness, delivered from your anger, delivered from the abuse, delivered from the divorce, delivered from the abandonment, delivered from the rejection. Anything and everything that's kept you from being all that God's called you to be, it's time to be delivered. It's time. It's time to be delivered. Now, I'm telling you, you can keep it if you want to. God loves you enough to let you choose if you want another year in this mess. If you want another year dealing with the lies of the enemy in your brain, in your mind, whatever you give place to, whatever you give your ear to, is what has influence over you. If you hang with a bunch of unsaved people, if your friends are still the same old dumb friends you've had all your life, and if you're trying to deceive yourself and everybody else by saying, oh, I'm witnessing to them, and not one of them's been saved in 5 years. I mean, hello. You are wasting their time and you are killing your future. When I first went to Hollywood 35 years ago, every door in the world swung open for me. The enemy will make sure that you have lots of things that are very tempting and they sound good. And one particular one, I mean, I knew when I was offered $1 million to do a spread in Playboy, I knew. I didn't have to pray about that. I knew that wasn't God. You know, I didn't have to pray about that. I knew when I was offered a show in Vegas for $1 million a year, I knew that wasn't God. But when they offered me the host of Entertainment Tonight, and I could just be myself, boy, I wanted that job. And I went to the Father, and I mean, I was working my daddy. Daddy, this would be a great job. I mean, it'd just be me. I'm not acting. I'm just being myself. People would know my name. So when I went to preach on the weekends, more people would come. I mean, I'm working my daddy. He's not saying anything for the longest time. Finally, I hushed. How many of you realize prayer is supposed to be as much him talking, if not more, than you talking? But what do? We talk the whole time. We call it prayer. We should be listening like 90% of our prayer time. Finally, I hushed long enough, and the Spirit of God said, before they become like you, you will become like them. I got up the next morning. I called my manager, called my agent. I said, I can't take the job. God won't let me. He's protecting me from myself. Packed my bags, left Hollywood. Now I could go back and do that because I'm old enough and I'm dead enough. But you see, there's seasons in your life when you're not old enough and you're not dead enough. You see, when the world disqualifies age, sometimes God is just waiting for you to finally get old enough. Sometimes you're finally old enough, dead enough, stepped in your position enough where you know who you really are, and Satan has nothing in you. God's calling us to step up, to draw the line, to get past the same issue. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. If you're willing to step into it, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Come on. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Come on, say it. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army. There's an army rising up. Don't disqualify your sound. Come on, make it. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I feel those chains falling. Come on, sing it. I feel those chains falling. 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 Father, for every chain that has fallen off of us right now. By your Spirit, Father. By your Spirit, Lord, we're coming into your holy place, into the place of Zion. We don't come to Mount Sinai where the law was made, Father. For we now have access to our worship, to the holiest place of your presence. We bring ourselves and we lay ourselves at your feet right now, Lord. For every person who is uncertain, it's time for you to settle the issue. If you are uncertain of your salvation, if you're not certain that you really know who you are in Christ, but you want to seal it today, you're ready to draw the line in the sand, and you're saying, this is it, this is it, this is it. Lift your hand right now to the Father. Say, that's my life. That's my life. I want to seal it. I want to draw the line. I want to be certain of my salvation from this day forth. Lift your hand if that's you. Say, that's me. That's me. Come on, say it. That's me. That's me. I'm settling it right now. Come on, I'm saying it. Say it. I settle it right now. If that's you and your hand is lifted, I want you to meet me at the altar right now. Come on. Come on. Let's settle this thing. Come on. Let's settle this thing. Step out of your seat. Don't be afraid. There's an authority in this place to settle this. To settle this. Step out of your seat and come to the altar right now. Come to the altar right now. Let's settle it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Maybe you say, I know I prayed that prayer one time, but my life has been like hell ever since. I never really had a change. I've just been trying to be new, but I'm not new. I want to be new. If that's you, come to the altar right now. Let's settle this. Let's seal this right now by the blood of Jesus. Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Come on. Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship you. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. Come on, tell him. Get along with him. I'm a lover of your presence. Along with your Father. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. Come on, tell him I'm a lover of your presence. 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 I'm along with you, God. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. Father, you know us. You know us, Father. Here we are before you. Every person, Lord, settling this thing, sealing this deal in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bring ourselves before you. We are not afraid to be here. We are not afraid, Father. We don't come to Mount Sinai. We're not coming by law, Father. We're coming because we have access through our worship, because of the love, the lover of our soul that you are, Father.